Philippians chapter 4. It says, verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known of all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. The Apostle Paul speaking here. Amen. The Christian walk, I will always say, is a faith walk. We do not walk by how we feel. We do not walk by what we see. We walk by faith. We live by faith. We live in the realm of faith. We see things from the eyes of the Word of God. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. Now, if we go to Psalm 119, verse 105, it says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So God's word is what we see by. We use God's word to discern things. We use God's words to see. And it's what God says that we believe. Amen. We don't believe what we think. We believe what God says because he knows more. Hallelujah. We're not supposed to be listening to the sounds, the noises the devil is making and people are making, trying to distract us. When the Bible talks about that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, what it actually means is that the adversary is trying to get us out of the way so that we do not pay attention and concentrate on the things that God is telling us about us and about where we're going. That is why the Bible tells us that we do not listen to strangers. He said, my sheep, they know my voice, Jesus said. And he said, the voice of a stranger they will not hear because they do not know the voice of strangers. Now, how do we know the voice of God? Through the word of God. Hallelujah. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That means that I'm walking in the word, I am on the right path. The word is light. When your heart is being flooded with light, it means that your heart is being flooded with the word of God, which is the counsel of God. Hallelujah. Now, for us to walk in the peace that God has ordained for us, we have to do it by the word. Hallelujah. Because the spirit and the word are one. We can't do it in our own strength. Well, we're not walking in our own strength anyway, because the Holy Ghost has been given to us to help us. Now, whatever God asks the believer to do, the believer can do it. Amen? There's nothing that God has said that we should do that we cannot do. Everything he tells us to do, he gives us grace to do it. Moreover, he had put his spirit in us for us to be able to do it. In the book of Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 26, he says, a new heart also will I give you. This was the prophecy of prophet Ezekiel talking about the new creation. When the times of when Jesus will come and get us, you know, die for us, be raised from the dead, that the new creation may come into being. Hallelujah. Because God is trying to recreate man, because the first man fell, so he's raising a new man. Hallelujah. And that is why the Bible calls Jesus the last Adam. Now, it says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. Now, let me say this. This heart is a heart that is tender toward God. It's not a heart that is hard toward God. And so you notice that when you get saved, you're more tender than you used to be. We cry more. We do, you know, it's like the man seems to be not as macho as he used to be. Now, that is a heart that is tender toward God. Don't try to make it hardened. Don't harden your heart. Don't sear your conscience. Don't become somebody that is insensitive to the voice of God, because it will save your life. Hallelujah. It will save your life. It will keep you from a lot of things. So that's, we need to understand who we are, how we function, so that our faith will always work. Because faith that didn't work is not faith. The Bible said, now there abided three things. Amen. Let's look at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the last verse. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Hallelujah. Now that charity there is because it's benevolent love. It's actually agape, is the God kind of love. So these three things abide. That means that when Jesus comes and this age ends and another age comes, these three things will still be there. We're still going to be living the life of faith. Amen? And so it says here, out of your flesh, he will take the stony heart out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you. This is the spirit of grace. He says, if we're reading this from the New Testament, we will say, and I will put my grace within you, my spirit of grace within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Hallelujah. So we're supposed to see and do things according to the will of God, according to the word of God, because he has enabled us to live for him. We're not people who cannot live for God, except you're not born again, except you were listening to the voice of the stranger. The stranger will tell you a lot of things. Oh, this sickness is unto death. You will never recover. It is not true. Jesus died that everyone who is sick will be healed. Everyone, 100% of the time. Even if you're 100 years old, if you are sick, you're supposed to be healed, because he's already paid for it. Glory be to Jesus. Amen. He paid for it. He says, in verse 20, he says, and you shall dwell in the land that I give to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I'll be your God. And I'll also save you from your sin. This is uncleanness. He's talking about sin. And I will call for corn and will increase it and lay no famine upon you. Now, there is no such thing in the Christian walk as the wilderness experience. We're not in the wilderness. We didn't go. We went from darkness to light. We went from the kingdom of, from the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, the kingdom of liberty, the kingdom of prosperity, the kingdom of abundance, the kingdom of glory. We are in the kingdom of God. We're not in the world. Though we live in the world, we're not of the world. We are of God. And we are from above. And we're on top always, never beneath. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And God does not give us times of famine. He doesn't, you know, you prosper today, tomorrow you might not prosper. It does not exist in the realm of faith. It exists in the realm of reason. Hallelujah. So God says to us, let's go back to Philippians chapter 4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. When things are happening, regardless of what's happening, just rejoice in the Lord. Just say, wow, they say I should rejoice in God. I rejoice in God. Now, why are you rejoicing in God? Because all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. You are never disadvantaged as a child of God. There is no disadvantage to the believer. He said, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Praise the Lord Jesus. Your your appropriate or fitting behavior, let it be known unto all men. Let all men be able to testify as to your conduct. Amen. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So when things are happening, I'm not agitated. I'm not going to be confused. I'm not going to be angry, start running around. No, I settle down and I pray. You know, when this situation came up in America, when we began to see that this the crazies, the woke thing and all of that, one thing was basic. The whole church in America decided we had had enough, and prayers began to come. So when things happen, we pray. We're not people who you're just running all over the place. You know, like when you ever got into a New York gutter, you know, one of the gutters in New York. What I mean is the drainage in New York, and you opened it up and put some light in there, and them rats are running all over the place. That's how people sometimes are. And a believer is not supposed to be like that. A Christian should not have panic attacks. If you have a panic attack, it means you need to pray. You're not praying. And I'm not just saying pray, you know, Hail Mary, which art in heaven, and all that. That's not prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That is an outline of prayer. If Jesus taught the disciples how to pray, that was not what he meant. He was giving them an outline because he would pray all night. How do you say the Lord's Prayer all night? Hallelujah. So it was an outline. Hallowed be thy name. That you praise God. Amen. Learn to give thanks. Learn to praise God. Acknowledge who he is. Amen. And pray for the things of God to take place upon the earth. Have a daily prayer life. Have a time of conversation and fellowship with God. When you come to God and pour out your heart, there is something that I'll tell you, and that is that when we come before the Lord and there are things we're not sure of, we're not quite sure what's going on, and you go to God, you go to him, you humble yourself and pray and talk to him. And what will God do? God will strengthen you. When you come out as a lion, because you will know what to do. A peace will rest over your heart. That's what he's talking about. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and definite requests. Supplication means definite requests. Praise God. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Understand something. Never find yourself angry with God. Never find yourself angry with God. If you do that, the devil has just discipled you. You had a conversation with the devil. That was why you became angry with God. At no time is God part of the problem. You know, some people, when they run into problems, the first thing they do is to kick God out. How do they do that? They stop going to church. They stop tithing. They stop giving to God. They stop doing the things of God. And they stop praising God. They stop worshiping him. They stop serving in the house of God. They protest. You see, you're playing with depression. The spirit, the antidote to depression is the peace and the joy of the Lord. If you fight with the Holy Ghost, who is going to comfort you? You know, when we say God, people look at somebody different. When we say Holy Ghost, somebody looks at somebody different. I do know that there are three distinct personalities, but they are one. There's no argument between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. No. They are one. They speak one thing. So, when situations come, we will pray. When we're not praying, the Holy Ghost will cause peace to rest over our hearts. We don't fight with the Holy Ghost. We don't quarrel with him. He doesn't tell us things and we say, no, I can do that. I say, but I've never done that. Okay, you've never done that. And the Bible tells us we should not forsake the gathering of ourselves together as a matter of some. I say, no, that's not for me. I only go to church on Sundays. Wednesday is my day. It's for me. You are listening to yourself, and you're not agreeing with the Spirit of God. You're doing things by yourself. And he says here, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. The reason you're coming to church is to be exhorted, to be taught the word. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. To be warned, to be admonished, to be encouraged also. Praise God with the word. Amen. So that, and your faith will be fed. You come to hear the word of faith, the word that will build your faith. Praise the Lord Jesus. Now let me come back to what I was talking about. And the peace of God with personal understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. A translation says it will garrison your... Can we have the amplified version? And God's peace shall be yours. That tranquil state of soul assured of his salvation through Christ. And so fearing nothing from God, and being content with his earthly lot of whatever sort that it is, that peace which transcends all understanding shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now, when he says here that content with whatever lot it is, does not mean that if you want better, you cannot have better. Praise the Lord. Amen. You can have better. You can have as much as you want. Depend on what you want to do with it, because like when it comes to prosperity, prosperity will destroy the fool. But you're not a fool. You're full of wisdom. Hallelujah. The wisdom of God. Now, if you're not interested in what the word of God says about things, then you're walking in foolishness. Even though you're not a fool, you chose to walk as a fool. Hallelujah. Then it says to us in verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are true, what is he talking about that we should think on? These are things we think on. You know, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of your thoughts, your contemplations, your mouth will say something. We never just come out, you know, maybe the Holy Ghost can put things in your mouth and you say it, but it is part of your thought process. So, what are things that are true? This word true here, what does it mean? It means things that line up with reality. It's like saying, like when Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. The Bible talks about the inhabitants of Zion, that the inhabitants thereof shall not say, I am sick. It says, let the weak say, I am strong. There's a way to, that when we speak truly in the kingdom, there's a way to speak. As things are with God is what we're talking about. Okay, so truth, speaking truth here is that the Bible says that let the weak say, I am strong. If I'm thinking truly, I will say that I am strong. When men are falling down, the Bible says, we will say there's a lifting up. We shall say there's a lifting up. Why are we talking like that? Because we are children, we are the just, the righteous ones, the ones that have been sanctified, set apart unto God. And God teaches us how to talk, how to live by faith. We're supposed to live by faith. All the time, we're supposed to be living by faith. There's never supposed to be a time that we catch you and you're not living by faith. You ought to be living by faith 24/7. He overcame the disease by faith. Hallelujah. And so don't let the things that the world say affect how you do things. Don't let them indoctrinate you and make you feel that they know better than you do. Remember that what you know came from the Lord. And therefore, they cannot be wiser than God. There's no way. Bible says that the foolishness of God is wiser than men. So when God says something, I believe it. I walk with it. If the world can call you a failure, that you're never going to make it in life, nothing is good is going to come out of you, but is that what the word says about you? Now, remember something that is in the book of James. Hallelujah. It says that But he that looketh into the perfect law of liberty, hallelujah, talking about the word of God. We look into the word, hallelujah, all right? And be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. He said, that man shall be blessed in his deed, amen? And so we're looking into the word of God and beholding who we are. He says, the Bible says, let's read it, verse 22, chapter 1. He said, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now, he's looking at it from a negative perspective, but we're looking at it positively. He said, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. So the word of God is me. It's a reflection of me. That is, what the word says I am is what I am. What the word says I can do is what I can do. Praise the Lord. What does the mirror do when you leave your home? Praise the Lord. So God expects that before we leave home every morning, we should look at the mirror of the word and see who we are. He says, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. So we are the man in the word. It is us. The fruit of the Spirit is in us. Hallelujah. We are not fearful. Bible says God had not given us the spirit of fear. Now, if you find yourself fearful, go to the mirror and talk to yourself. Say, I don't have fear. Fear, you're not in me. You got to get out. In the name of Jesus, I refuse to fear. Because fear says there's going to be a negative outcome. But there cannot be a negative outcome for the believer. All right. Somebody says, what do you mean? But I know believers who... All right, let's look at it. If all things work together for your good, how is it going to be negative?